Thank you, Tony and Miriam and Scott and Mark. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. I want to talk about a very simple message now. When God calls your name. Last year, I walked into Golf for Less over near the former Dwarf House to buy some golf balls. There's a young man in there named Phil. He and another guy named John are co-owners. I know them fairly well. Phil's wife has some health issues, and we always try to catch up on each other's wife and the status of their strength when I'm there. I like Bridgestone golf balls, so he said there's a sale over here. If you buy two boxes, you get one free. I like the word free. And so I said, well, I'll take that. After he took my money, he looked at me and he said, Bridgestone is running a special for the 2017 U.S. Open. They made 25 bags only, patriotic, as commemorative bags for the 2017 U.S. Open. He said, all you got to do is fill out a blank. You don't pay any money. Just because you're a Bridgestone customer, fill it out. I said, I never win anything. He said, fill out the form. That's what I did. 4 weeks later, I was in my office. My smartphone rang. I answered it. I hesitated because I didn't recognize the number, and there was no name printed out at the top. I thought it was a telemarketer. And when I answered the phone, he said, Phil, this is Phil. I said, Phil who? He said, Phil that owns Golf for Less. He said, I want you to know that you've won the 2017 Bridgestone U.S. Open commemorative bag. It is leather. It is red, white, and blue. And it's valued at $500. Now, some of you don't like golf. That doesn't make any difference. The American flag is embroidered on here. It's got everything except my name, and I can shoot 100 with this bag or the old dirty bag that I have at home. But it sure was exciting that day to hear my name. I'll never forget hearing my name at the Bell Auditorium when we graduated from high school, and that was before the days of No Child Left Behind. I had crammed 12 years into 13 and finally got my diploma. I'll never forget my college graduation. We were Augusta College. We've been called Augusta State. Now we're Augusta University. And there I got my degree in business management. The first person in my immediate family to get my college degree, I was so excited to hear my name. When I graduated from Southwestern Seminary with a Master's of Divinity, my parents drove one way 960 miles to hear my name called on that stage. And I'll never forget, after the graduation service was over, my dad brought me a savings and loan bank book. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And he said, son, I just want to show you something. Now, he had promised us all 4 years of college, Augusta College, Augusta State, Augusta University, whatever it is, that's it. He said, in this bank book, he said, I saved the money for you to go to law school. I said, Dad, what was that while I was in seminary? I'll never forget when I finally finished the three-year program in 5 years and got my doctor's degree. We graduated at First Baptist Church of Jacksonville. Elaine's mom came. My parents drove from Augusta down to Jacksonville just to hear my name. I'll never forget, in my bedroom as a junior in college, when God called my name and he said, it's time for you to get saved. And I prayed and invited Jesus into my heart. The night was February 26, 2018. I was reading my Bible before I went to bed. I came across Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. I've read it many times, just like you have, but it was just so exciting on that particular evening. Israel is in enslavement there in Egypt. Nobody could defeat Egypt. There have been 400 years of slavery Israel had experienced. They just about given up hope God came to her rescue and gave her a way of escape. And that's where you find the call of Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I'll just go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to Moses from within the bush. Can you imagine? Moses, Moses, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Ammonites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And Moses had this burning bush experience. God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And when you look at verse 4, the Lord sums up what's going on with the Israelites. He said, when he'd gone over, look, God called him from within the bush. And down in verse 10, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. When God calls us to salvation, he also calls us to service. He has a plan for everybody. Louis Paleo was an evangelist. He was holding a crusade in Peru. A terrorist was there, a woman, who wanted to kill Paleo. She had a resume. She had already killed 12 police officers. She was an expert in the martial arts. She came to the service that night. She was offended by the gospel. During the crusade, though, she sat in the stands contemplating the best way to kill Louis Paleo. While trying to come up with a plan, she listened to the message of God's love and her need of conversion. She confessed her sins and she fell under conviction, and she accepted Jesus as her Savior. 10 years later, the evangelist met her in person. By this time, she had certainly turned her back on terrorism. She had assisted in planting 5 churches. And she was an avid witness for Christ in her community, and she founded an orphanage that houses over 1,000 children. She separated herself from her sinful life. Her salvation was expressed in everything she did. God had called her name. Now, I love this. The concerns of Moses, the complaints in verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? First thing I want you to see here is Moses questions his ability, and God gives Moses assurance. God, I don't have the ability to do this. Look at verse 12. And God said, I'll be with you, and this will be a sign to you, that it is I who have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. How many times do we offer excuses when we know that God is calling us to a certain area of service? Like every good Baptist, we say, I don't have the ability. What we need to do is get historical and look at God's unseen hand. Think about Moses. You go back to when he was born, and then God arranged a plan so he didn't drown when he's going down the little river in a straw basket. You look back on his life, God had given him the advantage of growing up in Pharaoh's household. You look back on his resume, you see God had appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God called him by his name, Moses. God had given him miraculous signs. God says, I'll be with you. And he says, I'm sorry, I don't have that ability. You go over to chapter 4. We see a transformation. There's some signs God's given to him. I've got this. The staff is turned into a snake. Verse 2. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And Moses called it just a staff. Think about this. All Jochebed had in her hands was straw, but she wove it into a basket to shelter Moses. What do you have in your hand? We look at Miriam, had in her hand was just a tambourine, but she led people to celebrate God's faithfulness. We think about Hannah. She just had a baby boy, but she dedicated that boy to God. And we know that he became a great prophet. We think about Ruth. All she had was a stalk of grain in her hand, and God in his providence worked her into the lineage of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We think about a little boy who just had some loaves and a few fish, and the Bible said he fed up to Jesus fed up to 5,000. But when you read that closer, when they didn't count all the women at the time and the children, it could have been $10,000 or $12,000. 1,000 people. Church member walked into the pastor's office one day with a wrench in his hand. Now, I wouldn't trust somebody that walked in my office with a wrench in my hand, in their hand. But he came to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I've just got a burden on my heart to help underprivileged people. I have no idea what I can do. I don't have much ability. He said, I am a General Motors mechanic at a local car dealership. That's all I know how to do. So the pastor looked at him and said, why don't you go home and pray about it for a while and figure out what God's calling you to do? He came back a few days later and he said, Pastor, here's what I want to do. We need to start a ministry one Saturday a month to change the oil in our widows' vehicles and our single mothers. And if this works, we need to do some free maintenance and repair on the cars of our widows and also our single mothers. Well, I want you to know this thing caught on. First month, they had 20 ladies who came. Then it got bigger and bigger. Some more mechanics and people that were mechanically minded came alongside this thing every Saturday. Then they found out there's some people in their community that didn't have transportation, so they got some old cars, fixed them up, and titled them over to some people who were less fortunate. What's that you got in your hand? A GM wrench. Another church member at that same church was wondering, God, what can you do with me? And she and some other women started a literacy ministry. They loved to read, so they decided to teach some others to read. Just some straw, no problem. God's got that. Just a child with some loaves and some fish. God's got that. Listen, God can change the world with just a child. Now notice a restoration down in verse 6 and 7. People see disease, and then when you reveal your hand, again, it will be well. If you were in the hospital, wouldn't you want somebody to come by with the ability to just visit with you, pray with you, and you'd be well? Look at verse 8 and 9 there in chapter 4. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. And the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. This is not recorded here. This is my opinion, and it's worth what you're paying for it. Okay, God, let's move to another subject and another excuse. Moses questions his speech skills, and God sends a substitute. Look at verse 10, Exodus 4. Moses says, Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you. And he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I'll help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it'll be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. Well, Moses had better report accurately what God said to him, say to Moses, to share with the people. I love this. God goes back to the beginning. He says, who made your mouth? We're back to the source. Who heals the deaf and the blind? God said, I'll give you power. I'll give you words to speak. God's not concerned about what? Our capability. He's just concerned about our availability. God's saying in just two words, here's all he's saying, trust me. Now be careful about using the words can't and won't. W-O-N apostrophe T. Christians need to be careful which one they choose. We prefer can't. I can't get along with my wife. I can't discipline my children. I just can't give up the affair I'm having. I can't stop overeating. I can't find the time to pray. I can't quit talking bad about other people. Any Christian who takes Scripture seriously will have to confess the word really should be want instead of can't. One of the best books you'll ever read about overcoming depression is one written by Frank Minerith and Paul Meyer entitled Happiness is a Choice. It's written many years ago. These are great psychiatrists and psychologists, and they have a mental health center in Dallas, Texas that is world renowned. When you read that book, here's what they say. As psychiatrists, we cringe whenever Christian patients use the word can't. Any good psychiatrist knows that I can't or I've tried are lame excuses for not doing what you ought to do. We insist that our patients be honest with themselves and use language that expresses the reality of the situation. So he said, what we do is we have our patients to turn their can'ts to wants. He says, if an individual changes all of his can'ts to wants, he stops avoiding the truth, deceiving himself, and lives in reality. Here's what they say. I just won't get along with my wife. I just won't stop having an affair. I just won't discipline my kids like I should. I just won't give up overeating. And on it goes. Now, non-Christians have every right to say, I can't, because they really can't. They're victims. They're trapped. They're bound like slaves in an endless struggle. They don't because they can't. Holy Spirit takes up residence in us as soon as we trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what we like to do? We say, we can't. And what it is, we actually choose to disobey because we don't do what we're supposed to do. Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send somebody else to do it." Isn't it easy to pay your money and just send somebody else to do ministry? But God calls every minister, every Christian, to service. I was reading an old illustration from Hudson Taylor. He founded the China Inland Mission many, many, many years ago. He was used of God to lead people to Christ and disciple them. Thousands of Chinese converts. On one occasion, a one-legged school teacher from Scotland came to see him. Came in and sat down and visited with Hudson Taylor. The man said, "God has called me to go to China and get involved with your inland mission." Well, Hudson Taylor sat him down and interviewed the man for several hours. He asked him all kinds of questions, soul-searching questions, to reveal how serious this man was about coming to work at this mission. But the last question Hudson Taylor asked him was this: "Tell me, sir, why does a one-legged man want to come to China to do missions?" And the school teacher said, "Because there aren't any two-legged people that are coming to minister." Truth of the matter is, God has given us everything we need to serve Him. And He's going to hold us accountable for how we use what He's given. Notice the conquest Moses witnessed in Exodus 4:29-31. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses, and he also performed the signs before the people. And they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen the misery that they were experiencing, they bowed down and they worshiped. Moses trusted God, and guess what? God did exactly what He said He would do. And the Israelites were free, and the enemy destroyed. You know, sometimes we think if we try hard enough, we can overcome temptation. If we try hard enough in our own strength, we can serve God to do what He called us to do. All the time, He's equipped us with the Holy Spirit and with His Word to just allow Him to use us as His instrument. I was reading the other day about a man who set a world record on June 12, 1979. Now think about this. This man decided that he was going to make flying history by flying a pedal-powered plane. You hear what I'm saying? This guy sat in the pilot seat, and he didn't have any engines. All he had was pedals to run the propeller. And so here's what he decided to do. He decided that he would fly the 22 miles over the English Channel. Plane got off the ground. He never got over 15 feet high. It took him 3 hours. And he was able to fly those 22 miles and land successfully on the other side of the English Channel. Isn't that great? Whoop. I don't know about you, but I like the planes that I fly to, say, Delta on the side. And they got these bad boy jet engines that give you great power for takeoff. And you can be on the other side of the English Channel in about a minute and a half. Why you want to pedal the propeller when God's allowed people to invent jet engines? William Booth couldn't sleep one night when he lived in London. He got up, walked down through the city streets. He had never done this before in the dark. There he saw what he had never seen while he stayed in the comfort of his home every night to sleep. Here's what he said. He said, as he walked past impoverished lives, some people were beaten and sickly, human soul rotted away from the ravages of poverty and life's addictions and problems. It boggled his mind. He said, elderly, the sick, children were sleeping on the curbsides. When he returned to his home, his wife said, where have you been? He said, I've been to hell. And from that, God called his name to establish the Salvation Army. He was moved by compassion on those who were enslaved, some by their own sin, some by what others had done to them. When's the last time you've heard God call your name? Well, God, I'm just not real good at that. Well, God, I believe in the substitutionary system. Can't you send somebody else? When God calls our name, there's only one answer, and that's yes. We surrender, and he uses us. What you gonna do the next time you hear God call your name? Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.